Okay, so yesterday we talked about falling in love. And today we're talking about living in relationship. Like, how does it actually work? Or how does it work well, we'll say. And then tomorrow we'll talk about growing in relationship. How can relationship be part, an integral part and supportive of our spiritual path? And how can it help us to awaken further? Welcome. We're so glad you're here, because if you weren't here, we might be lonely.
The L word. Loneliness is a huge, huge drive for a human being to overcome or to escape. Because for one reason, we're social animals. And as social animals, we survive and thrive on our ability to work together to accomplish things, from hunting to division of labor. The women used to gather and raise the babies, hunt, and they'd gather the berries and stuff, and the guys would go get the protein, go hunting. So that team effort, you know, many hands make light work. In a relationship, you know, you cooked, I do the dishes. I mean, the division of labor is smart. It gives us ability to have more free time than we would if we had to do everything ourselves. And we get to learn from other people's abilities. If Stephen invents a new recipe for lasagna that we like, I don't have to also invent the new recipe for lasagna that I like. I might do that if I'm also a cook, but then we could have like a cook-off, you know? Like, and even competition is a form of raising the bar. I make a lasagna, it's a little bit better than Stephen's, not likely. Sorry, what did you say?
I laughed.
Huh? Oh, you laughed, okay, fair. But let's say, and then he gets out there to make a better one yet, right? So this is really important part of human growth, is the competitive aspect. And that was the original meaning of the Olympics, wasn't to win. The original meaning of the Olympics was to raise the bar. Oh, well, he can throw it 100 yards, can I throw it 101? Important aspect of humanity is not to be alone. When it comes to a baby, if babies are left alone, they die. If the baby's not held, not touched, not interacted with.
You don't mean just not fed?
No, I don't mean, no. I mean like not
getting contact.
They die, they just step out. Right. So this loneliness thing is huge. And the other aspect of loneliness is something Teilhard de Chardin said, the famous Jesuit priest of the early 20th century. He said the greatest fear in mankind, the greatest fear in humankind, is the fear of taking a dead end. So if there's a whole lot of people going in a direction, we feel much more confident that it's the right direction than if one guy or one woman is going off in this other direction, right? But having said that, it's the people who go off in a new direction that actually bring the jewels back for all of the mass. So you can make the wrong decision by following a mass movement like Hitler, right? Or you can make the right movement by following somebody like the Buddha. But the odds are, on a day-to-day basis, that if you follow the majority, you're probably a little bit more safer, secure, and comfortable than if you follow the minority, right? Which is why we call small religions cults, and big religions.
Traditions.
So this loneliness thing is really important when it comes to relationship. Because when we feel lonely is when we fight. When we feel lonely is when we don't communicate. When we feel lonely is when we feel hurt. And when we feel hurt, we shut down, we turn off, we separate.
When we feel lonely is when we suffer.
Is when we suffer. So a good part of relationship is just trying to escape loneliness. Along comes the Buddha and says you can't really be in a healthy relationship if you're not healthy alone. Right? Because the insecurity driven by loneliness drives the neuroses that gets you into the trouble with the suffering in the first place. Does that make sense? So if you want a healthy relationship, in our opinion...
Okay, I agree.
Okay. Got to make sure you're not putting words in someone's mouth. If you want a healthy relationship, you have to come to terms with aloneness, being alone, and be okay being alone, and being quite content being alone, and be happy being alone. And if you can do that, then you can really talk about being in a healthy relationship, because you won't project your fear of loneliness onto their inadequacies in making you not feel lonely.
Their inability to help us not feel alone, which no other person can make us feel not alone, right? That power only resides in two places, one here, right? And the other place is like in the universe. But Doug does not have the power to make me feel not alone. I can try to give him that power, right? And that's what we tend to do in relationship. Oh, you make me feel whole. And he does all sorts of wonderful things. And it's fun to be with him, and we're a good team, but he can't make me feel whole. I've got to kind of feel whole already. And then we make a kind of double hole. I don't know. What do you call it?
It's a hole in one.
There you go. Oh, golf season starting. Look out.
And I can't make her feel not alone, no matter how much I try, and vice versa. So from yesterday, when we're in love, we're in first stage of the womb. And when you're not in love, when you're in anger or hate, you're in third stage of the womb. So in order to come to terms with aloneness, you have to come to terms with the womb journey. And to do that, you got to get below the ego. We said this yesterday. So getting below the ego can't be done with therapy. It cannot be done with self-help courses. Well, it can be facilitated with self-help courses, but the point being made here...
And all those things help.
They
right?
help.
We're not...
No.
We hardly support those things. Those are good things.
But fundamentally, it's a solitary journey for you from two back through your first 2 years and back through the womb experiences so that you can integrate the aspects of union and separation and struggle and deliverance that occur in that process. And they're not verbal. It's really important to point this out. This is not a verbal journey. This is an experiential, physiological journey that we call meditation. And by doing that, then you can come to terms with your aloneness, the aloneness of your partner, and then your ability to work together as a functioning team with shared goals and vision. Lonely is the feeling of absence of other. Aloneness means I'm, even when I'm alone, I'm in union with everything. So when I'm alone, in the positive sense, I feel connected to everybody and everything, but I don't take my identity from that connection. When I feel lonely, in the emotional sense, I feel like I'm missing something, that there's something absent, that there's something not there, that there's something I got to get.
I have a follow-up question. For myself, and probably others share this as well, I feel more comfortable when I'm alone.
Mm.
And there's a sense of quiet and peace there.
Good.
And I actually don't feel lonely when
good.
I'm alone.
That's good.
I actually feel lonely when I'm with someone else.
Ah.
Or other people.
Yes.
So I'm just curious what you have to say about that.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Because that's so true. It's kind of like being alone in nature. Nature has no ego. So when you're alone in nature, you usually feel pretty good because you don't have to position in any way. Joanna, the person, whatever that is, doesn't have to show up. There's no need for her. It's just the organism and nature, part of the organism, so on. But when another ego shows up in the room, say Kara, right? Now I have this working ego that helps me get through my day and organizes what I do and makes me function and makes decisions, and there's this other ego that has the same program, but maybe not the same agenda. So now the struggle happens because I have to learn how to be with Kara, who is alone, with me, who is alone, and have this working agenda together. So people who match our agendas, right, or are close to our agendas, we don't feel so alone, so lonely, right? But if the agenda veers off or is different than our agenda, we feel more lonely. So when we're in love with our partners, it's because our agendas are doing a tango. And when we feel out of sync with our partners, it's when they're doing the foxtrot and you're doing the jive. And the two don't, and that makes us feel more alone, which we don't have when we're alone, because there's no other ego. So it's a very good point you raise. As human beings, we do better with others. But this challenge of it is how to work with the ego, but get behind the ego to the comfort in the aloneness, so that when conflict or struggle arises in the relationship, it's about agendas. It's not about loneliness or abandonment or unloved. It's like, oh, are we on the same page here or not? And then how do you work that together?
Yeah, there's also, more pragmatically speaking, that just the issues of introverts and extroverts, right, and knowing which one you are, and it's not necessarily obvious. You can be a sociable person and still be an introvert and just really need to have time alone to recharge your batteries. And so knowing those kinds of things and being able to regulate energy levels, right, because, yeah, it's hard to be around a lot of people if your energy levels are depleted, for example. One starts to just feel bad, right? And loneliness might be one manifestation of that.
Yeah, and I think this is where self-help courses and therapy courses and relationship courses are very, very useful, because they're like practical tools for the ego to work together in various contexts. But they will not produce awakening. They will not produce liberation from loneliness, because they, like I said before, they can't do that. So you can have strategies and methodologies for working and living with each other, which is a great, wonderful thing to do from the point of view of relative truth and the relative world and context, but it won't cure or touch your sense of inner peace or contentment, because for that it has to be without context to self or other, which is why relationships end. They don't end because you don't love each other. Most of the time they end because your partnership hasn't agreed on the parameters of what you're even doing together. So Catherine and I have an agreement. The number one reason we're together is to support each other and you guys in the development of the awakened consciousness. That's our
MO. That's our modus operandi. And that we established that very early on, like
day one.
Kind of day one. Yeah. And that has really saved our bacon any number of times. Because it's easy, you know, when you get in, like conflict is inevitable. There's no avoiding conflict, and we don't really want to avoid conflict because we, like we said yesterday, conflict's a really helpful component of breakthrough, right? So you want that conflict is like the flint against the stone to light the fires, right?
It's the sand in the oyster.
Yeah, it's the sand in the oyster that makes the pearl. And all of our societal conditioning and family conditioning is more on about, you know, keep the relationship together. Like that's a sort of holy grail. But we were clear from early on, like, well, we only want this relationship to stay together if we are really working for spiritual awakening. So are we doing that or are we not doing that? So that's helped us to not fall into that trap of kind of save the relationship at all costs, which you kind of have to ask yourself, like, well, what for? Like, my relationship isn't inherently sacred. Like, it's only sacred if I make it so. And, you know, what makes it so is probably going to be different for each person, and then that's what we've got to figure out.
And what direction you're going. So, like, are you working in compatible directions? Is your vision about what your life's on about, is your vision of your direction compatible with the vision of their direction? And so if the answer is yes, you can continue to tag team, if you want to use that word, to help each other and support each other. And if not, you might go separate directions. So while we live in nuclear families and we live in nuclear relationships, and we've done that for a very long time historically, I think, this is a speculation on my part, they're coming to an end. That the nuclear family and the nuclear relationship is historically passing out. Maybe not in the next 50 years, but we do much better in teams. And on the way here, one of our Dave mentioned that his best relationships have when they've been involved in community. That he and his partner, whoever that was, right, were involved in a larger community working for a kind of a common kind of a vision of what that is. That his personal relationship with his partner worked best under those conditions. And we're going to argue that if it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to hold a relationship. And I think a good reason relationships are ending so drastically is, and so often, is because there's no village for not only the individual, but there's no village for the couple or the whatever. So you need you're a social animal like an ape. So you need many people in your world who you're in relationship with to bring dimensions to your being that your pair bond partner can't bring, because nobody can carry it all. And you need different things from different people.
The flip side of the coin of realizing we're alone is realizing that we are never alone, right? But we only, that's a package, right? We only get to enjoy knowing that we're never alone if we realize, like, you know, it's just me here, right? I'm the one in charge of my life, and I can't attribute it to him or to anybody else.
So we're arguing that once you come to terms with aloneness, not loneliness, but aloneness, right, then your degrees of freedom exponentiate. You're more effective with other people. You're more effective at work. You're more effective in conflict.
You're kinder.
You're kinder.
You're more
generous.
Compassionate.
You're more compassionate. You're more understanding. You're more empathetic, right? Because you're not driven by your own...
Not driven by the...
insecurity.
Fear of being alone, right? And when we come to terms with that, like, wow, I am just like one puny person out of 7 billion. That's a really terrifying realization, right? And so naturally, I have so much empathy for, like, oh, and this person is just one puny person in 7 billion. Like, I want to, you know, be nice to this person because that's really tough. And so makes for better relationships, amazingly.
And curiously, it gives you courage. You have
courage,
more courage,
yeah.
and you have more compassion, and you have more freedom to explore and discover. Because you're not driven by the insecurities that keep you locked down. And to do that is not such a difficult journey. The difficult journey isn't having courage and being independent and going your own way. The courage is the fact that it's actually being supported by the universe.